You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's none other than Dr. Robert Craig, the Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing, Dr. Craig?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. Yourself?
I was doing all right, and then I read this article this morning in the Nation of Change, and I couldn't wait to bounce this off of you. I don't know anybody who can explain it better than you, so let's have at it. Republican states manipulate Electoral College to favor Trump in 2024. Republican-led states Nebraska and Georgia are exploring or implementing changes to the Electoral College process, potentially shifting the 2024 presidential election in Donald Trump's favor. These changes could undermine the popular vote and democratic principles in favor of partisan gains. Let me read a paragraph, and then I'd love to hear you weigh in. The Republican-led states, Nebraska and Georgia, are effectively exploring implementing these changes. And so the Electoral College system has long been criticized for disproportionately favoring smaller states over large ones. Every state, regardless of population, is guaranteed at least three electoral votes, two for the senators and one for the House of Representatives. This structure gives voters in smaller states more influence per elector than those in the larger states. Dr. Craig, is it possible that as we're winding our way through this election, that these changes, because Lindsey Graham talked about this on Meet the Press this past Sunday, about changing these things in the middle of the stream. Should we fear that?
Yes. Because this is part of a pattern, Earl, and we all saw it in Wisconsin when Scott Walker took power and when they rigged the map so only the Republicans could win and they were going to win supermajorities in the state Senate, state assembly. They instituted massive voter suppression laws, some still on the books, some have been thrown out in court. Thankfully, we were part of one of those lawsuits. And so what it comes down to is they don't see democracy as a fair way to determine who rules, who governs, right, for a set period of time. They see it as a game to be rigged. So they're trying to be the house, like Las Vegas, like a casino, right, where the game can be manipulated endlessly so there's only one outcome, the house wins. They want to be the house. And so until we restore the norm that is illegitimate to hold power unless you actually win a democratic election, and we have that on one side, I believe, and not the other, then they're going to look for every possible angle. And I believe, Earl, the article is referring to Nebraska's thinking of very late in the game changing the way they do the Electoral College, because right now it's by congressional district, which means the more Democratic part of the state, Omaha, is a swing district and one electoral vote that could swing the difference. And Georgia, it has to do with the games they're playing around certification and around hand counting, et cetera, to give them the ability to basically pull Georgia's electoral votes, a large state, double the size of Wisconsin, out of the calculation if it votes for Kamala Harris and swing the election to Donald Trump. Pull it out by delaying it and gumming up so much that the Electoral College votes aren't in time to meet the deadline.
Well, Dr. Craig, that we know if they're able to pull this off, they're going to do it. Is there no way to push back on that?
Well, there are ways to push back more on Georgia than Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska could have had a winner-take-all system all along. They have a tradition of not having it. It's unseemly. It violates norms for them to make that change under pressure from one side in a presidential election in order to make it more possible for them to win if there's a tie in the Electoral College. That's where Nebraska, Congressional District 1, will come into play. They can do it. It's a violation of their own norms, and they could have done it earlier in the cycle and didn't want to, but they're under immense pressure to do it. So it's unseemly. It shows a lack of regard for democracy and for Nebraska's traditions, but they have the authority, the legislature, to do it. In the case of Georgia, this is extra legal activity. And the legislature appointed a majority to the election board that is now violating state and probably federal election law. The question is, what do you do with what does a Georgia Supreme Court that is Republican do? Does it stand with their governor and secretary of state in the last election and uphold the rule of law? We already know that the U.S. Supreme Court is not any kind of defense against this at all, that they've made out a series of outrageous decisions this session, basically repealing a lot of the regulatory advances of clean air and clean water and other regulations, basically repealing all those laws in a stealth manner. And then they have done something that is amazing. They, because their interpretation of immunity, Earl, it means either the founding fathers, the founders, the people who wrote the Constitution, the people we're supposed to revere, are complete idiots, that in trying to prevent a monarchy and authoritarianism, they created a constitution that actually authorized one, or as a U.S. Supreme Court has written us a whole new constitution to meet 21st century MAGA Republican standards of of the way the country should look and what kind of democracy we should have.
You know, Dr. Craig, the more you read about things, the FBI worried, frightened about the outcome of the election. If it doesn't go the way the MAGAs want it, there's going to be hell to pay. I mean, these things just don't even seem to be real, Dr. Craig. And anybody who doesn't believe that the democracy hangs in the balance, I don't know what they're looking at, Dr. Craig. I really don't. I mean, to think that these people can do this right in the middle of this, as you and others organize people to do the right thing and get out and vote, and then you realize that your vote, they're talking about constantly, you hear Republicans saying, well, they're finding out a way to cancel our votes because people are cheating on the other side and it cancels my vote. Well, they make those unsubstantiated claims at the same time behind the scenes. Well, not even behind the scenes, Dr. Craig, they're preparing this.
It almost seems like Donald Trump, and some others have said this, expects to lose.
Yes.
He's planning for this end game, which is odd because the polling I see shows he has a chance to win. That's why we can't lose our attention and not actually try to win this race, then try to hold the win legally. They have less leverage in some ways than 2020 because they don't have the presidency, right? So those conspiracies with the false electors and getting Mike Pence to accept them and sacking all the top of the Justice Department and had to do his bidding, that is off the table. Now, anything close, the Supreme Court can in an even more illegitimate way, do what it did in 2000 and decide an election by intervening in a state controversy. That was the recount in Florida, that the U.S. Supreme Court did that in 2000, when most people would agree that not only did Gore win the popular vote, he almost certainly won Florida. The Supreme Court just prevented it from being counted. Even with all of the problems in Florida that made people vote for Buchanan who didn't mean to vote for Buchanan, remember the butterfly ballot.
Right.
But here's the advantages they have. They failed once, and would-be dictators usually succeed the second time, much higher success rate than the first time because they learned their lessons. And we have a very federated system. So you can do it in a Georgia or a Nebraska. And in the Georgia case, you then can take advantage of the weakness of federal law that there's no recourse if a state doesn't send its electors, okay? It's not in the law. And we can't expect the U.S. Supreme Court to do anything good if such a decision has to be made by them. So that is where the choke point is. It gets much worse if he is elected, either legitimately or illegitimately, because what the Supreme Court said is he can order the Justice Department to go and persecute all of his enemies. That could be a very broad brush, and he is completely unaccountable for it. Unless he can be impeached, which can't happen with this Republican Party and the 2/3 you need in the Senate, even if you had the House by a couple votes. And so it is now lawless president. And there are reports that Mitt Romney has actually thought about the idea of whether he needs to leave the country if Trump is elected, because he is an enemy of Trump. Think about that. A man of his resources and his prominence and his stature in his own state of Utah, where he's an elder in the Mormon church. But if Mitt Romney has to worry about that, then everyone has to worry about basically a new monarchy under Trump if he wins. That's the worst. But at this point, there are a lot of things we have to worry about. Look, how do you frustrate the Georgia and Nebraska strategies, Earl? You win by a large margin.
You know.
So we have to win by a large margin, that is to say, where it's not even close, where Nebraska or Georgia can't swing the election.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's terrifying that, you know, we can talk about puppet governments. And here we are, certainly looking like, for all the world, like a puppet government if these kinds of things can happen. 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go. We're talking about the fact that, you know, we're facing some really difficult times in this country. And the Republican states, a couple of Republican states are looking to manipulate the Electoral College to favor Donald Trump in this election. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, Dr. Craig, I want to let you know that issue has been taken care of in Nebraska. They actually had a Republican person of power stand up and say, no, that he did not want for that to happen. It only took one person to do it. He was on Chris Hayes last night, just to let you know. Also, I have a question. I know that whenever a person talks about the border, that they must be either a Fox watcher or a right-wing hate radio listener. And I have two questions. One is, why is it not breaking through that Donald Trump actually killed the border bill for the border? And why is it that people in the northern states are so worried about immigration and border crossings are actually lower right now than they were under Trump? Why is that not breaking through?
Thank you very much for the call.
What they're very good at is sparking, you know, paranoia that becomes a reality to people, that changes their perception of reality. There's a long history of that. I was talking, Earl, I think it was on last week's show or a recent show with you, about the conspiracy theories that had huge currency in 19th century America, like theories that the Catholics were running basically rape and abortion mills in Catholic monasteries, because Catholics were the newcomers and it was a very Protestant country. They had the same kind of conspiracies around the Masons, for example. There was a whole anti-Masonic party. There was even a contagion around German immigrants, supposedly, for all this has a lot of currency, eating the dogs of people of Americans when they moved into those neighborhoods. And that's one of the sources of the term hot dog, actually. And so they've been allowed to sell without very direct pushback, because the Democrats tend to try to kind of feint and weave, and they don't take things head on a lot of the time. They think that could damage them. Allow them to construct this myth, and I mean myth as a falsehood, not myth as a cultural understanding, because there are two senses of the term of myth. But it's a myth, a lie, that there's an open border. There's no border patrol, apparently, and apparently millions of undesirable people, rapists and murderers and people who just want to be on the dole, are flooding in over the border unimpeded every day. And that emotional fear, once you have stoked it and you've said it over and over again, so it becomes a reality for people, right? It's not very susceptible to, oh, but on policy, Donald Trump actually, in this complicated way, ordered Republicans in Congress to kill this complicated but conservative border security bill that Democrats and very conservative Republicans in the Senate had agreed to. It's just too complicated. And I think this needs to be taken on frontally. And maybe the way to take on frontally is, it is not true. It's a distraction. They are running what amounts to, think of a football play where it looks like it's going one way and it's going the other. Where the play is really going is massive new tax cuts, the reauthorization of the Trump tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy, and more of them if he's elected. So they're going for the misdirection. And you know what? Americans, historically, one thing they hate is to be had. We have to start to convince them that they're being played, because they are being played. They're being played by the House.
Well, you know, next week I've got Attorney Kate Lincoln Goldfinch on. She is the top immigration attorney in the United States. She's in Texas. And so, I reached out to her on the other day, and because it's time now, once again, as I reached out there and said to her, that she comes on and clarifies what is actually going on at the border, and let's put the lies to rest. So she'll be on with me next week. I'll let you know what day. Let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. So Supreme Court, well, technically reflects the decisions for the people and by the people, right? So since they're working for us, basically, can we let them go and get the other people? Because obviously they are corrupt. Obviously, they're making a decision one-sided, and nobody can tell me that they're not making a decision one-sided, because most of it is obvious, even to me. I'm not remotely anything as lawyer or paralegal to even understand to the details what they're doing, but obviously they're going into, they're lopsided. Can we let them go?
Hey, Karina, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Actually, we could. Their power is all in the Constitution, unlike what the Supreme Court invented for Donald Trump's superpower immunities to do whatever he wants with his official power. So the checks and balances against a runaway Supreme Court, that's what we have, are that the president, with consent of the Senate, has the ability to appoint as many justices as they choose. There is no nine in the Constitution. So if they've unbalanced the court where it is an artificial right-wing majority, where they've stolen seats, and then you can add a lot more than nine, and they can be confirmed. The second thing you can do is Congress can limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. It is not natural. They do not get to be the ruler of everything unless Congress lets them. And the problem we're having is that Democrats, too many of the Democrats, are not willing to use the checks and balances that they are supposed to use to make the Constitution function.
All right. 844-967-2789. Mike, hang on and we'll return. Got a lot more to talk about.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. So, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about the possibility of some changes taking place in Georgia and Wyoming. And then I got something else we want to go to, but let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Give him a chance.
You mean Nebraska.
Nebraska. I'm sorry. Yeah, Nebraska. Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, as always. Real quick, we found ourselves in this really weird predicament where, you know, we're kind of stuck in the two-party system. And one of the parties, and let's call them the wrong party,
yeah.
It seemed to be digging in and, I don't know, showing more of the warts that they have. You know, they're taking extreme positions. Even when confronted with empirical data on things like, young people and children being hungry in schools, it doesn't move the needle for them. The only thing that moves the needle, it seems, is financial gain coming back to them in somehow, some creative way. So what they've done here, and again, I'm a big fan of shared power, as long as it's people power, but they put the Republican Party in really a difficult position, in my opinion. And just like what happened after the Great Depression, the GOP has a distinct possibility of being harmed and I would say becoming irrelevant for the next several decades, just like they did in the 40s and 50s and 60s and the 70s. And with that high risk behavior, it really kind of shows us, that quite frankly, there's a lot of Republicans, a lot of elephants that need to get put back into their cages. They're not taking positions that are synonymous with the U.S. Constitution. No, they're taking Viktor Orban's positions. They're taking Vladimir Putin's positions. They're taking strongmen positions that are anti-U.S. Constitution. And I know everybody sees this. I can't be, you know, the only one. And yet, we're still having these discussions in what looks like to be a real close presidential race. I don't get it. I don't understand what the people are seeing or aren't seeing here. You know, we're already in a nation where our health care is twice the cost of everybody else, and for some reason we take it. We already exist in a nation where it costs our kids tens of thousands of dollars to get a basic education to where they have a chance to make it as an adult, and to where, again, they're strapped with huge debt. No other nation does that to their people. The time is now. We are in a sweet spot, I think, here of a massive opportunity to change and put our nation back on course, just what our founding fathers insisted we do in times like that, like this, and that is to organize, to get together and with the system that they provide, make the changes that we want made. Make no mistake, Earl, the right wingers, or the wrong winger in this case, that's the last thing they wanted.
Hey, Mike, you and I will talk later on this morning, I promise you. Thank you very much for the call, Dr. Craig.
A lot there than what Mike said. Let me just say he's right about the two-party system. It creates part of this problem, because if you had a multi-party system, then the Mitt Romney Republicans and the Bush Republicans would be a place for more moderate people to go, right? Now it's an all or nothing choice. Either you have to vote with a Democrat, who you may not share all of their values, or for the authoritarian. Now, the founders did not even want parties. They didn't believe in parties. By the way, parties are probably inevitable. I'm telling you, this was their view, so they're not part of the Constitution. The two-party system is not within the structure. It's been enforced by both parties once it was established, and the Supreme Court has backed it up. So we could have a multi-party system, but I remind people, because a lot of young activists say, why do we have to choose between these two parties? I want a third party. I want people to be serious about the power it requires. It actually requires you to build enough power to change those structures, to do something like New York does and has fusion, which allows people to be endorsed by more than one party and be on the ballot in a couple places. The Working Families Party does that, which gives you a way to demarcate progressive Democrats from other Democrats, because they're endorsed by both the Working Families Party and have the nomination of them and the Democratic Party. So, but why Orban? Just to respond to that, because grifters admire other grifters and learning from them, right? So the ethics here is something like someone running a dice game on a corner, a small-time kind of a grifter and hustler. And so you rig the dice game, right? That's what's going on. Meyer Lansky, the great, great as in brilliant, not great as in what he did, mobster, was a brilliant young man and learned by just watching the operators on the street corners and what they did and how they manipulated the game and got the money. And so look at Viktor Orban. He has elections. He has all the trappings of democracy. He pretends to be a republic. But just like when they gerrymandered the Wisconsin legislature, only one side can win, right? Only the dealer can win. Only the House can win. And they want to be the dealer. They want to be the House. And so they admire. That's why Tucker Carlson spent a week on live Fox TV nationally with millions of viewers in Hungary, right? And then interviewing Orban after a whole week-long setup. It went on and on, Earl. And so that just tells you, you know, it's Maya Angelou. When they tell you who they are, believe them. But now we have to act. We have to get off the sidelines. We have to win this election by a margin that does not let them block it or overturn it. And Wisconsin's one of you, everyone, and most, not everyone, but people in civic media, it's a Wisconsin network, right? you all have a role, but you need to get off the sidelines and play a role in making sure Wisconsin is won. And then the other battleground states need to do their job so that what Georgia does doesn't matter.
Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to let you know I'm a progressive who ran as a Democratic assembly person a couple times and didn't make it because partly because the party is a machine like the other ones. One of the things I'm worried about is the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and there's another one I forget the name of. Between the two of them, there's provisions in there that make third parties almost impossible. They change the fundraising requirements and the ballot initiative, the nomination papers and stuff, making it really hard for third-party people. So it's a poison pill the Democrats got involved in setting up so they get to stay in power as much as they can. Same old story, unfortunately. Us progressives got to stick together, but then once we let these guys win, we got to keep their feet to the fire. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, fact-checking, you know, former President Trump's promise to cut U.S. energy costs. Donald Trump has made a promise to cut energy costs 50% in a year's time. So he can lay out these things, Dr. Craig, to his audience who doesn't understand the inner workings of these things. And so he counts on never going into detail about how he's going to do the things that he says that impresses the people who listen to him, Dr. Craig, the people who thinks that he's the smartest person in the world because he just throws out anything, and yet there's never any follow-up. So Donald Trump has promised to cut the energy bills of the American people by 50% in a year's time. You're a brilliant guy, Dr. Craig. You know that's impossible, but let's just for a second. Donald Trump, if you make thoughts, Donald Trump, this is Donald Trump speaking. If you make donuts, if you make cars, whatever you make, energy is a big deal. And we're going to get that. It's my ambition to get your energy bill within 12 months down 50%. Well, Dr. Craig, if I hear that, and let's say I live in Wisconsin, or if I live in Arizona, I got to have air conditioning all the time. If I live in Wisconsin, it gets really cold. I got to have heat. So it's certainly going to be something I'm listening to. It's an idea that appeals to voters still suffering from a rapid rise in prices. But inflation has come down recently, and his plan requires cooperation from the U.S. energy companies. They would have to extract more oil and gas than they ever have. Here we took a look at the energy policies of both major parties. Candidates, Patrick D. Hand, he's the head of the Petroleum Analysis of Gas Buddy, which tracks gasoline prices, and this is NPR. So this is what was asked of Mr. Hahn. What do you make of President Trump vowing to cut energy prices this way? Can he actually do that? And Mr. Hahn said, well, he can certainly deregulate some of the system, allowing oil companies to potentially drill more at an easier pace. He could open up additional drilling. It was President Biden that had eliminated leases in some areas of the federal land. Now, keep in mind, federal land is a very small total of the U.S. oil production on federal land, so it won't have a big impact ultimately. There are some things that the president can do to incentivize oil companies, but ultimately it's at oil companies' whims if they like to increase production or not. And should oil prices decline to the point the president likes, it would be at a point where many oil companies are losing money on every barrel. So as Donald Trump has led people to believe, Dr. Craig, that he'll be able to cut the oil prices down to $35 a barrel, half of what it is now, what do people think will happen when oil prices go down to $35 a barrel. I'm asking you, and the United States ramps up its production, what do you think the other nations are going to do while we're ramping up the production at $35 a barrel? Do they think the rest of the nations are going to continue to ramp up what they're doing? Or do you think what those nations will do is slow down and stop producing oil, since oil is a global commodity and not just something that can be controlled by America? That's a lot. That's a lot.
And you froze a little there, Earl, at least on the live stream, maybe not on the radio. Not sure. I was going to say that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll only have chance.
Hold on. We can respond. We respond on the other side. I'll clarify it when we come back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, Donald Trump promised to reduce energy costs to the American people by 50% inside of 12 months if he's reelected. And so he's talked about, you know, certainly ramping up the production, fracking and all of those things in this nation. And so to force down the price of oil, which is at 70 some odd dollars a barrel now, he's promising to cut that in half. And so he thinks that by doing that, he'll force down the price of oil, you know, cut it in half, bring down the price of gas, cut it in half. But America's not the only nation, Dr. Craig, that's producing that. And so to believe that by America ramping up, you know, its production, the rest of the world isn't going to ramp up their production, Dr. Craig, if the price of oil goes down, since it's a global commodity, they're going to cut their production. So just the fact that America can ramp up is not going to be an answer to bringing down the cost of the of energy, because Donald Trump says it.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't promised yet 10-cent hot dogs, 5-cent candy bars, $1.50 ticket to the bleachers at Wrigley Field in Chicago, probably even lower. It's County Stadium here in Wisconsin. Because, and no one's going to dig into it, right?
Right.
You're right about it being a global commodity. So the president named the price. Now, if it requires fossil fuel companies to take a loss, look out, corporations, that we've been told that their only obligation is to maximize shareholder value. Look how they've exploited the pandemic in order to drive a lot of the inflation. how food processors, grocery store chains are making record profits when people can't afford the eggs and the milk. And now they're going to apparently take a loss for Donald Trump. Now, if that really happened, then you really do have a dictatorship where he's, where they're, they should worry about that, all the corporate barons that are underwriting Trump's campaign. But then the other thing it doesn't take into account, Earl, in addition to the global, it being a global commodity, is that overall, we already have maximized fossil fuel consumption and, I mean, production in the U.S. It's at record levels, which is a problem given global warming that would be far more costly in terms of life and financially for all of us, and already is, than any savings he is promising, even if materialized. He's not taking into account the cost of fossil fuel production in terms of lives and money. But in addition, we have a massive, the fastest growing part of our energy portfolio was renewable energy. It's growing massively. President Biden made massive investments in it, historic ones in the Inflation Reduction Act. And Trump has also, with the other hand, promised to repeal all of that. You know what? He's going to reduce overall energy supply because there's this obsession with denying climate change and therefore calling electric vehicles and calling solar power and wind power a problem when it's going to replace fossil fuels, even if there wasn't a global warming crisis. The problem is we have to accelerate that in order to keep the crisis under control. Let me just say, Earl, if your home insurance has gone way up, a lot of people's have doubled and tripled, right? That's because of the cost of global warming now at a much lower level of warming than we'll get to if we don't roll back fossil fuel production and emissions. And so there are a ton of costs that we're already paying and will pay even more if Trump gets his way. But here's the thing, we have to have conversations with people. I'm having conversation with people in our deep canvas operation where we have deep phone and door conversations with people. And there are a lot of people who should be with us that don't know what to make of these claims. When you walk them through it, they share our values, the callers on this call, your and my values, Earl, it becomes very clear, and then they act accordingly in how they vote. But right now they're being misled and lied to, and the way to address it is not, they already see all the ads we're going to see, right, and all the digital media. What really cuts through is conversations from neighbors, people like you from your community, having a conversation about all of this. And kind of a smaller version, an individual conversation of the conversation on effective and high quality talk radio, like this program, like the other programs on civic media.
You know, Dr. Craig, it doesn't matter. They're trying to send this alarm that electric vehicles, we've got to end that. It's causing so much damage. But truthfully, that's the future.
They're environmentalists all of a sudden, Earl. Yeah. It's amazing. And in fact, they're lying about what is worse.
Yeah, I mean, this is the future. And then not, and we're not going back. What did Kamala Harris say? Dr. Craig, we're not going back.
Well, we're going to keep the horse-drawn carriages, apparently, if they're
in the last country. Dr. Craig, as always, thank you, my friend. Really appreciate it. Have a great week. I'll see you in a week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinier on air with Greg Bott. I'll be back on tomorrow. Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, will be joining us on the Earl Ingram Show. Enjoy the weather.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.